Robert Rottenberg got from the Rebbe, Parshas Baalaischa, Monday Bank Holiday, 4th of June.
The Shis, the Kabuim, the Spalimim. It's a pleasure to be back in Israel again. I haven't been here for a long time. But Baruch Hashem, it's nice to see the change. Every time you come, there's another addition to the Rochnius, Shira Toira, more Buta Medrushim, everything that increased ever since the roof came to Edgeware. When you speak to people outside Edgeware, they call it the complete transformation. It's not the same Edgeware that it was. Not only for the people of the Shtibu, but for the whole area, and probably for the whole of what we call the north of England, of London. This week, Tadri's Parshas Baalaischa. It's the first week after Shavuos. It's still a week ago today, there was still Shavuos. Shavuos is Kabbalah Satoira. Everybody knows what Kabbalah Satoira means. And everybody knows where we came from before Kabbalah Satoira, and what we looked like before Kabbalah Satoira, and the transformation which Kabbalah Satoira made on Klal Yisrael. That's when we became Am Segilah. Before that, we were like the Mitzvah. There was a Kitzri, Halul Yavidah Vedezura, Halul Yavidah Vedezura. People in Mitzrayim for so many years got used to the customs of the Mitzrayim. They didn't even know that they were doing something wrong. But even with all that, because the Shoyrish of the Kedishas Rovis of Avraham Avinu, all they needed was to light the spark. What happened? Moshe Rabbeinu came, he said, Rabbeinu Shalom said, I'm here for you. I promised so many years ago that I'll come and take you out from here. And Vayamen Avraham, people believed. They started getting ready, left everything behind, no questions asked. Then they say, I need time to sell my house. They had a lot of property there in Goshen. It almost all belonged to them. Nobody said, my solicitor's on holiday now. I have to wait, I can't go. Everybody packed up, and in a short time, they came from Ramses, got ready to go, and they went. And that is the schar, which Rashi says, I have to send my Kriyas Yamsev, they believed that I said they should go out. Where are they going to? To the Midbar. What's there? There's nothing there. No shops. Nothing to buy. Nothing grows there. They go. The Rabbi Nishleilim said, go. They go. They relied on him that he would provide for them, just like he provides where we are today, thinking that we're making what we're making by ourselves. But everything is provided by the Rebbeinu Shalom on a daily basis. That's what we daven every day. We mispala for panusa, we mispala for everything we need. We know there's only one way, tefillah, we mispala. And through that, we were zoicha in a very short time. We went out from Mitzrayim with this amina, knowing that the goal is Kabbalah Satoira. Everybody went, and we were zoicha to become Am Segilah, to be Mekabel the Torah. Kabbalah Satoira wasn't only once. We make a bruch every day. Murigatu Hashem, Noisan HaToyre. Doesn't say Nusan HaToyre, he gave us. Noisan, he gives. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives us the Torah every day. Because every day we learn Torah, we know something new. And usually, if somebody will put his mind to it, he will see that whatever he learns that day is something which he needs personally in his life. He can learn from what he learned that day. If you've got a Sufi, he doesn't know what to do. Do I have to do this? Don't I have to do it? Is it right? Is it wrong? Sometimes you're lost. You don't know what to do. You don't know who to ask. You sit down and you learn, and the Rebbeinu Shalom sends you in a machshuva. From that, that's the hashpua of the Torah that you should know what to do. So that's noisa la Torah. You learn Torah. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives you the cycle and the machshuva to know what to do from what you learned. Rashi says, the beginning of the sentence. Lomu lismuchu parshas hamnoyre le parshas hanesiyim. Last week we learned the parsha, the 12 nesiyim, with makir kabulas. Nobody asked them to, was of their own will. One of the nesiyim suggested it, and they all got onto it. They were makir the kabulas. Shavit Levi were not part of it. Why were they not part of it? Because they thought, let everybody do like by the Litva Samishkan, they didn't bring anything, because they said, let everybody bring what they want, and whatever is left over, we'll bring. And then there was nothing left. So all they had to bring was Avne Shoyim and Avne Meliyim. Where did they bring it from? So the Medrash says, V'hanesiyim Hayvi, it says, the Nesiyim is a allusion from the clouds. In the Midbar, there was no Avne Shoyim, no Avne Meliyim. So the Medrash then made the Nes. It came with the clouds. The Avnei Shoyim and Avnei Meliyim came to the Midbar, and the Leviim will be out of that for the Mishkan. When clouds bring something to the Midbar, how does it know where to land? I'm after by Shavuot Levi, it could have landed anywhere, any of the other Shvutim as well. What was the significance of Shavuot Levi? That Avnei Shoyim and Avnei Meliyim through a Nes came to the Midbar and landed by Shavuot Levi, that they could bring it, that could be there in the Dover for the Mishkan. Because the Nesiyim was so broken because of what they did, that they were not mishtatif with all the other Yidden to bring the Neduva at the time when Moshe Rabbeinu said everybody should bring the Neduva for the Mishkan, they thought, well, let everybody bring, they can't bring everything, whatever is left over, we'll bring. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo showed them, that's not the way to think. You'll be part of Klal Yisrael, everybody brings, you bring as well. You want to show you're bigger than everybody, what nobody can bring, I'll bring, it's not going to work. So in the end, when they saw that there was nothing left for them, they really had charuta. Why did we act like that? If you have charuta, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo sees, if you're sincere, he will do everything to make you, to give you the possibility to put it right. What could they do in the midpoint? There's nothing left. So there's only Avnei Shoyim and Avnei Meliyim that was left, which nobody had. Not that Klal Yisrael didn't bring it because they didn't want to, but there was nowhere to get it from. So because Shavuot Levi had charuta for that machshuva, that they will be bigger and better than everybody else, so the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave them the opportunity, he made a nes, that the Avnei Shoyim and Avnei Meliyim will be brought to them, and they will not do that. But by the Chanukah Sanhedrin, last week by the Kabbalists, you don't find Shavuot Levi. So Rashi says that Lomu Nismuchu Parshas Hamnoyre Le Parshas Hanesiyim. Why straight after we learn the Parsha from the Nesiyim, we read the Parsha of the Hadlukas Hanayres of the Menoyrim, which was through Aharon. Nafi Shekisheru Aharon Chanukas Hanesiyim, when Aharon saw that all the Nesiyim brought Kabbalists for the Chanukas Hamishkan, Cholshu Azdato, he was upset, he had Chalishas Adas, that he wasn't part of them, lo he, lo shifta. Not him, and not his Shavit. So, because he was upset, the Rebbeinu Shalom said to him, don't worry, Chayechu, I promise you, Shalachu, your mitzvah, what you're going to do for the Mishkan, Gedoyim Shalom, is bigger than all the Kabbalists of the Nesiyim. Why? Shatuk Madlik, Imaita Vesanayres, you will light and clean out the Menorah, the Nairis, and light them again. What is Hadlukas Hanairis of the Menorah? Why is it bigger than all the Kavunas of the Nesiyim? Pashtus, the Pshat is, because they were Makrav once. In the beginning, Chanukas HaMishkan, they were Makrav the Kavunas. Hadlukas HaMenorah is every day. So his Avoida is ongoing, it's constant, it wasn't just a one-off. That is the push of the Pshat. The Rabban already asked the Kashi, the Medrash says that Shelechu Amedes Le'olam, they only brought Kavunas once, your mitzvah is there forever. The Rabban asked, where do we have the Menorah today? What does it mean it's here forever? So some say it means Chanukah, the Rabban says it means Chanukah. I thought maybe there could be another Kavunah in this. Every person could learn something from the Torah, like we said before. What do we learn from this parsha? Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom say to Aharon, "Shalichu gedolim b'shalehem"? Why didn't he prepare him before that? You should know you'll have a mitzvah, menorah. Why only after, when it was Chol Shudata, that he wasn't part of the Chalikas and Nesiyim? It's the same as when the Nesiyim had Chalishas and Adas, that they didn't bring any Nidumim for the Mishkan, so the Rebbeinu Shalom showed him, "I'll give you something that you could do." So the same here. Aham had Chalishas and Adas. Where were we? Where's my Shaivet? Why didn't we bring anything for Chalikas and Mishkan? Oh, you have Chalishas and Adas. It bothers you while you weren't part of it. Don't worry, I'll give you an opportunity to put it right. What did you put right? Shatu Madlik, you light the Vesanayras. What does Rashi say? Shatu Madlik, you light, you light the Vesanayras. What is Hatuf Vesanayras so great? Mail Madlik Vesanayras, the mitzvah is you light the Menorah, it's light. I desish, Hashchede Shoyre be Yisruel, the Ner Baruvi was always on. What is Hatuf Vesanayras? What does that show? Such a big deal for Aharon to satisfy his Chalishas Hadas that he isn't worse than anybody else. Why is it Shalichu Gedoyle B'Shalem? Why is it even greater? So I said, maybe the pshat is that this is a limit not only for Aharon Lakhoim, this is a limit for every year, every place, and every time till Mashiach will come. When a person does a mitzvah, in the Torah we find Mitzvahs Esser, we have 248 Mitzvahs Esser and 365 Mitzvahs Loises. In every Lois Esser, the Torah tells you what the Oilish is if Chas V'Shul you're over on the Mitzvahs Lois Esser. Mitzvahs Esser, you have Kol Pesach and Mila, which the Torah says if you're not Mekayim, there's an Oilish of Kuras. But the Torah doesn't tell us what the Schar is for every other Mitzvahs Esser. The Gemara says it doesn't mean in this word, but for all the other mitzvahs, it doesn't say what the schar is, it also doesn't say what the oilish is. There's no oilish in the Torah for not being Mekayim and mitzvahs hasen. Why doesn't the Torah tell you, if you won't be Mekayim this mitzvah, you can have an oilish? So the Baal Ma'am Chaim says very good. From the Baal Shem Tov side, the Gemara says, "Schar mitzvah b'hai al b'leki." In this world, you don't get schar for a mitzvah. You don't get schar for a mitzvah. Of course, you get schar for a mitzvah. But because it's a laichi, as mitzvahs are tishmeri, v'hasisa boisam, the schar is, but it's hatikish b'leki b'leitam, everything. So what does it mean? There's no schar mitzvah b'hai al b'leki. So the Baal Shem Tov says, the schar for one mitzvah is so great, there's no place in this world for the schar of one mitzvah. So whatever you get as much as you can get in this world. That's not the whole schar. Ultimately, you get the full schar, the Olam Haba. So Rabbi Avraham Chaim says, why doesn't the Torah say what the Olam is for being over the mitzvah session? Because this alone, that the person doesn't have the schar, which you could get for a mitzvah session, the Olam Haba, that's the biggest oilish you can get. You can try and give a bushel. If you go to Chayde, you have a class. You have one of the boys who doesn't behave. Sometimes the teacher will give him a punishment, tell him to write 10 pages, 100 lines. In the olden days, we give him 2 patch. You give a punishment. Yes, you can still do it today, but nobody will see. But you can choose that punishment. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it makes it even worse. And sometimes the boy will say, you know, he knows beforehand, this rabbi, well, I'll give me 50 lines, I can cope with it. I'll go home, I'll tell my sister to do it, my brother will do it. In the end, I'll come and give it to him in the morning, he wouldn't know the difference. Sometimes he knows, sometimes he doesn't know, he doesn't care. But sometimes, if you tell a boy, you know, tomorrow the whole class is going for an outing, you won't be going. That's the worst thing that can happen. That can get anybody to behave. Why? What's the big thing in outing? So you won't go. But everybody you can buy off with something which is in his category. Children, an outing is something they won't want to miss. So the same thing here. Mitzvah Aseh, there's a schar. That alone, that you can't get the schar for the Mitzvah Aseh, is like telling a boy you'll miss your outing. And for that, the Torah didn't write the schar. So the schar is so great for the Mitzvah Aseh, that alone, that you know, if you're not going to be Mekayim of Mitzvah Aseh, you won't get the schar. That alone is enough to urge you to be Mekayim all the Mitzvahs that come your way that you could possibly be Mekayim. Now, when you are Mekayim a Mitzvah Aseh, there are certain categories of being Mekayim a Mitzvah. And that, on that, it depends the type of schar you get in this world. The Baal Baruch Haim explains that in various places in his Sefurim. He said, you have a person who does a Mitzvah. I've got no choice. You know, if I don't do the Mitzvah, I won't be going for the outing. So I have to do it. Once he's done it, he'll do it a big team. I have to get up in the morning and go to Davin. So I'll get up and go to Davin. And what time does the business start? 7:45? If I get there 8:15, I'll still make it. I'll skip from the front and I'll make it up afterwards. I would have Davin with a million. I was Mekayim by Mitzvah. So why does he do it? Because he knows if he doesn't Davin with a million, he will have missed it and he won't go for the outing. There's another person who can't wait for the Rosh Hashachah, they should get up and get ready and go to Davin. It's an opportunity to Davin to the Rebbeinu Shalom and ask him for what he needs to be near to him. So what is the difference? You get up in the morning, it's raining, it's snowing, it's cold outside, you got 20 minutes to walk, you don't have a car, you don't have a lift. Will you go? I don't know, by the time I get there, it's not worth it. Today, the Rebbeinu Shalom met my Merkel down. I mean, after all, he doesn't expect you to do more than you can. So today, I go every day. So today, I won't go. I won't have a serious nefesh to go. On the other hand, somebody who can't miss a million, if it's cold, there's snow, he knows it usually takes him 20 minutes to get up an hour earlier. He'll give himself 45 minutes just to make sure he gets there on time and he doesn't miss the million. So for him, there's nothing that will stop him. He'll go with Mesiris Nefesh because he can't miss the million, not because he wants to go on the outing, because he wants to do what the Rebbeinu Shalom said. That's a mitzvah, to do a Nachas Riech for the Rebbeinu Shalom. What is the difference? The difference is that even on the day when they both daven with the million, and then something happens that day, both need a yeshiva, Chitz L'Derech HaTeva, something which is out of the norm. So the person who will only go to Davin when it's convenient, if he has to do a bit more for Mesiris Nefesh, he doesn't go, then if he needs a yeshiva, B'derech HaTeva, he'll get it. If it has to be a chitz L'derech HaTeva, then he's not a customer. On the other hand, the other person who goes to Davin with Mesiris Nefesh, nothing stops him, he will get what he needs even if it's chitz L'derech HaTeva. The Nesiyim were devastated that they did not bring anything from Chanukah and Mishkan. It's all passed and there's nothing left to bring. They were devastated. They wanted to do a Mesiris Nefesh, so they had a Yeshir Chitz L'Derech HaTeva. The Ahlan HaKuvit brought them to Avne Shoyim and Avne Milim. The Ahlan HaKoyim was devastated. This Shavit didn't have an opportunity to be back to a Korban for the Chanukah and Mishkan. So the Rebbeinu Shloim said, this is what I am looking for from every Eid. That when you missed something, you should be devastated and you should make sure that it never happens again. How do you do that? That even when you are Mekayim a Mitzvah, you shouldn't be happy, oh, Baruch Hashem, I did it. You should always look to make it better. Don't feel, Baruch Hashem, I did it, I was Yotze. You should always feel, I could have done better. I wasn't Yotze. Yes, I davened, I could have done better. I did another mitzvah, I could have done it better. And that is what the Torah tells us here from Aharon HaKohen. Aharon HaKohen learned from that. Because his shavit wasn't part of the Chanukah and Nesiyim, he had chaleshes hadas. So the Rebbeinu Shloim said to him, don't worry, I'll give you a mitzvah, you will light the menorah. In the Pusik it only says, Hadlukas HaNayris, you will light the menorah. So that's your mitzvah. Rashi says, Satu Badlik, Imaitiv HaNayris. What is Imaitiv? That's a part of the Rashi brings this from the Medrash. So the Pshat is like this. Even when you were light of the you are become the mitzvah, you should not be happy because Hashem I did it. You should be invited as a Nairis. You should always think, I could have done it better. Oh, next time I'll try and improve and do it even better. How do you do it better? You sit down, you learn all the mitzvahs, all the dinim, all the haluchas. You can be bechadish haluchas. How could I do it better? What did I do right the last time? What could have been better last time? What did I miss? And that every time when you look, you find something you could have improved. And that is madlik. Even when you are madlik, you did the mitzvah, you light the menorah, but you're not happy. You might have as an iris, you try to improve and make it even better. So this is something which continues forever, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Aharon doesn't light the menorah, but the koyach of Aharon HaKohen, which he took upon himself, that because he had chalishas hadas, that from then on, whenever he will do a mitzvah, he will always not be happy, he will always look to make it better. That is a limit for Klal Yisrael, for all of us. That's what the Torah says. Behaloyschu esanayres. It goes for every yid. Behaloyschu. When you want to be elevated, you want to steig hechen esanayres, you should always think of the nayres of anayres. What happened then? Aharon HaKohen had chalishas hadas. He wasn't happy with what he did. So the Rebbe Shlomo said to him, I will give you something shalachu gedoyle mishalem. It's bigger. Shatu badlik imaitav esanayres. Why is it gedoyle? Because it always gets bigger. Even when you did a mitzvah, you steig. Next time you do it even better. So that's why it's ongoing. Even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's not only Shavuot Levi, not only Aharon HaKohen, every yid learns from this. And even when he does a mitzvah, he shouldn't be happy. Baruch Hashem, I did it, now it's over. Whenever you can do another one, the one you did, you can improve, you can do better. That should be your goal, your she'ifa, and you should always try and do that. But there's one very important thing when it comes to these things. Sometimes people think, you got a mitzvah to do, and you think, this mitzvah is not for me. This is for somebody who is much bigger than me. I'll never achieve it. I'll never get to it. So why should I bother starting? That's not a cheshbon. A yid should never make a cheshbon. Will I finish? Will I not finish? Will I be able to follow through what I took upon myself? There's a madness which the Balatirim brings. When the Rebbeinu Shloim said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Davra b'na Yisua v'ikhil yitrimu, they should bring a Nadova and build the Beis HaMikdash, build the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu thought, how is it possible that Yidden from nothing should bring so much to build the Mishkan? So he asked the Rebbeinu Shloim, Yicholim ha'am la'asoy soy, is it possible that Yidden should build the Mishkan? The Rebbeinu Shloim says to him, I tell you, every single one of them could build it. It only depends if he wants. But I call ish, one single person, Asher Yidveni Liboy. If he only wants, with his heart, he truly wants, he can achieve it. He just has to start out. You start doing it, if you're sincere, you'll be much clear. So I thought maybe further on in the parasha, the Torah tells us of the Masuas, how the Yidden traveled. I helped the Torah decided of the Degunim, how they went. And in the end, after all that, the Torah says, Eilem Masa B'nai Yisroel Litzavoysam. These are the Masuas of the B'nai Yisroel Litzavoysam, according to their Tzavuas, how they were set out to the Degunim. Then Pusik carries on one word, Vayisui. It's me, Vayisui. They traveled? Of course they traveled. The whole Torah started on where they traveled, in which order they traveled. What is this last word, Vayisui? So I thought maybe the pshat is like this. What is the travels? You have to travel somewhere. Where does he travel? Lo'ilu Babu travels through this whole world doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Yeah? Then ultimately you get the schar for all the mitzvahs you did. But where do you start? Vayisui. Just travel. Start going. Don't wait. You make a cheshbon. Where will I land? What's my last stop? Doesn't matter. The last stop is ultimately Oilem Abu, like the Torah says, Oilem Shekel Toiv, Oilem Shekel Yurech, Mashiach, Basa Mikdash, everything is going to happen then. But will I be Zoyche to get there? If you don't start, you definitely won't get there. So Oilem Basa B'nai Yisroel. The whole travel of all the B'nai Yisroel through this world is, the first thing is, Ayisui, travel, carry on, go. I just want to end off with one story. This, we learned Shvius, we learned Megillas Riz. Medrash says that the whole Riz, there's no mitzvah, not one mitzvah in the whole Megillas Riz. The whole Megillas Riz is just to show us the middle of Chesed. Chesed, which Riz did, was boyas and everything, which through all that came out, Malchus Beis Dovid, which is the ultimate Melech of Malchus Shumayim, all through the middle of Chesed. One of the mitzvahs in the Torah, which is part of the mitzvah of Chesed, is in case of Talmud and Sami. A person needs a loan, somebody's got the possibility to help him out. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, a mitzvah's asset, you should lend him the money. Obviously, the person who borrows the money has to be responsible. He shouldn't just borrow money because he wants it. He has no cheshbon of how he can ever pay it back. But sometimes you can find even the biggest gevir, he hasn't got spare money at the moment, and he needs it for something urgently. There's a mitzvah of Gemara Chasudim even to lend for a multi-millionaire. Sometimes he needs £1,000, but he doesn't have it. He can go to somebody who only has £1,000. If he lends it to him, he has a mitzvah. Now, this mitzvah is called part of Gemara Chasudim. Obviously, a person who has money, he wants to be behind the mitzvah, but he wants to be sure that he's secure he will get his money back. So what do? You go to a bank, you ask for the charge over your house. You go to a private person, he will ask you for a personal guarantee. But a personal guarantee is only worth something if you own something. If you have nothing, what's your personal guarantee worth? He will go and ask you to bring the guarantor. Sometimes he wants one, sometimes he wants two. What happens if the person urgently needs the money and there's nobody who is willing to give him a guarantee, to be his guarantor? What do you do then? You go and ask the person who can afford it. You go to somebody who, if he loses £1,000, it won't be the end of the world. So somebody comes to me and says, I need £1,000, will you lend me? She says, well, I would really like to lend you, but you have to bring me a guarantor. He doesn't have a guarantor, he won't lend him. So what happens? Nothing. He probably loses the deal or doesn't do what he needed to do, and that's the end of it. But that's not really the right way to think about it. If a person thinks, I'm the millionaire, I've got the money, it's mine, then you can think that way. But if you know that what you've got is not yours, so the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave it to you, just that you should be able to be behind his mitzvahs, one of those mitzvahs is to help out another yid who is in need. If you haven't done it, then you will lose out on something else. I just want to tell a story which I heard of Ephraim Zalman Magulias. Everybody heard of the Sefer Matei Ephraim, yeah? He was a big millionaire, big Talmud Chochem, a big Gaon, but also a big millionaire. He had a bank. He was a banker. And he lent out money to people, and he had a form which people had to fill out, and obviously you also had to bring a guarantor to sign for the loan. One day, a person comes into him, and he asked for a big loan. Either he had to be chasm, whatever it was. So he gave him a form, takes the form, he fills it out, comes to the last line, signature of guarantor. There was nobody who was willing to sign for him. So he filled it in, he wrote on the line, when it says guarantor, he wrote down, Liha Kesef, Liha Zuov, Liha Mashem. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, well, the money is mine, he's the guarantor. Okay, he comes back to the Ephraim Zalman Magulias, gives him the form, he looks at it, he reads the signature of the guarantor, He says, well, he thought to himself, we probably didn't find anybody who was willing to guarantee. Doesn't matter. I'll give it to him. If he doesn't pay back, if he needs the money, I'll give it to him. He gave him the loan. Whether it was a 6-month loan or a 12-month loan, I don't know. It doesn't matter. After the period when the loan was due, on that day, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margulis didn't feel well. So he didn't go into the office. His rabbi went to the office that day. When she came back, she told him that today she gave somebody a big loan. So he asked her, there wasn't enough money in the till. Where did you get so much money from to give out? So she said, yes, in the morning when I came, there wasn't enough. But somebody paid off a loan, so then I had the money to lend me. So he looked in his book, whose loan was due today? And he sees that loan was due today. So he paid his loan. He said, no, he didn't pay. Somebody came in. He said, he wants to pay the loan of this and this person. And he paid it. So obviously, he realized that this wasn't just a person, that the guarantor sent Eliyahu Hanavi to pay off the loan. So he had terrible agmas nefesh. Why wasn't he zoiche to be there that day? So, like an Eilech Yid, he sat down and made the cheshbon. What did I do wrong that I wasn't zoiche to be there when that loan came back through the guarantor? Sitting and thinking, he said, he thinks that the reason is because he asked for a guarantor in the first place. He should have given it to him without even asking for a guarantor. So what you see is, an Eilech Yid makes the cheshbon. Okay, he knew he doesn't have a guarantor. He said, well, I'm not going to give him the money because he doesn't have a guarantor. He brought a good guarantor, the case of Liazov, and the guarantor delivered. Now, if somebody is going to try and copy that, it's not going to work. It doesn't work like that. Not the person who comes to take the loan, not the person who gives the loan. Why? Because you have to be original. Just copying somebody else, not being sincere, is not the way that it works. But it doesn't have to be like this. This is just emotional. But it gives you some food for thought. Everybody could find in his own situation, in his own way, whether he is on the giving end or on the receiving end, there's always some thinking to do before you make a decision. And if we always do like that, we start out by Yisui, and we always think by Haloishu, we have to go hecher and hecher. We have to try and elevate ourselves to doing mitzvahs, even with Mesiris Nefesh. And if we didn't achieve what we wanted, we should have Chalishas Adas, we should feel bad about it. But not, well, I feel bad, and then it's all lost. No. You should be bespalled, the Rebbeinu Shleilu should give you the opportunity to put it right. And if you are sincere, he will certainly give you the means. It doesn't matter how, even in Chitzle Derech Adem. The Rebbeinu Shleilu should help you, you should be zoiche to all the Bruches, to all the Madragis. And we should go through our journey in this world, and we should to be a Mashiach and bid you by English.
Amen.